Hi, I'm Erica Farber, President and CEO of the REB, and welcome to Radio on Main Street, the podcast all about radio. In April, we attended the annual NAB show in Las Vegas, and during that five-day period, we had the opportunity to sit down and talk with many broadcast executives and thought leaders about their focus and plans for the year. Big thanks to Enco and Benstown for allowing us to record Radio on Main Street live in their exhibit booth every day of the convention. Our seventh episode of this continuing series, we hear the conversation I had with Tim Clark, Senior Vice President of Digital Audio Content at Odyssey.
Well, here we are at the NAB on the exhibit floor in the West Hall, and there is a lot going on. And I know you're only been here a day, and you were saying how you're already just like...
overwhelmed. It's always overwhelming on the first day.
So many of our listeners to this podcast do not attend the NAB. Explain from your perspective a little bit, what is this experience like?
It's stimulating. I've always loved coming here because it really gets your thoughts going, and it gets you thinking about... you know, not only what is happening today in our industry and in the media space in general and in our world, but it really makes you start to think forward about what the future is going to look like. And I don't think that we have enough time in our daily, you know, sort of our day-to-day to think like that. And it's really important that we stop down and we have these, you know, strategic sort of moments where we think about the future and think about our evolution and our transformation and what the macro trends are and so forth. So I think it's really valuable in that regard, but it's also great to come together with other broadcasters and collaborate and ideate and just share thoughts and check in on how things are going.
Yeah, the network opportunities are amazing.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about innovation. This is the theme of this year's conference is... The NAB is 100 years old, and they're celebrating innovation. Is there a specific innovation or project that you're working on within Odyssey that you're most excited about?
Yeah, well, first of all, congratulations to the NAB. That's pretty incredible to think about, 100 years.
Very incredible.
And to see the show so vibrant and successful this year is awesome. What I'm most proud of in our company is our digital transformation. We've invested a lot of time and energy and money into our digital platform, the Odyssey app and odyssey.com. And we're really trying to make the audio app of choice. And at the core of that is what is so special about broadcast local radio. There are a lot of audio apps and a lot of audio platforms that do a lot of special things, but when I think about our right to win in radio, it's just that. It's that locality, it's the liveliness, it's our personalities, it's our brands, and what we're really trying to do is create an audio platform that is super engaging and immersive and takes advantage of that specialness about local radio, but really makes it more interactive, makes it, modernizes it in the ways that consumers expect when it comes to a digital platform and an audio app today.
Mm-hmm. Can you delve a little bit deeper into your app and its capabilities?
One of the things I'll highlight that we're most proud of is our rewind feature. Mm-hmm. And this is like DVR for live radio. And nothing like it exists anywhere else other than our app. But you,
I haven't heard of this.
If you listen to any of our spoken word stations, sports, news talk, think about the rich premium content that we have on these stations that we're creating every single day.
And the traditional broadcast listener isn't listening to the 3 hours of that show.
Correct. And the listener would listen to more of their favorite personalities, more of their favorite shows, if it were easy and if they had access to that content at different moments throughout their day and week.
When they wanted it.
Correct. So Rewind allows our listeners to actually rewind these shows up to 72 hours. We have what we call chapters, which are basically descriptions of every single segment. So you can go into the app. If you're a big Boomer and Geo fan, you listen to WFAN in New York,
right,
and you missed a portion of the show, or you just want to listen to more than you were able to catch on your commute in the morning, you can go into the app and look at all the segments and skip around. It'll take you right into that moment in the program. And the great thing for us on the business side is that it creates additional engagement. It creates additional impressions for us to sell and monetize.
Well, I was just you took the words out of my mouth because I was already going to go there. Of course, how are you monetizing it?
Yeah, we're monetizing it as part of our digital audio network. And these are highly engaged listeners. I mean, if a listener is going to go out of their way to listen to more content, make the choice to look for more, seek more, engage with us in additional, you know, occasions, that's a very valuable listener. So I think it creates a really great opportunity for brands and advertisers to be part of something unique and have a placement that's really special.
And the campaign to download this app, you're using your many resources, I would assume.
Yes.
To have as many people download this as possible.
Well, we have such incredible reach already. We reach in Audacy over 200 million listeners a month across all of our platforms. And you know, the vast majority of those listeners are on our broadcast platforms over the air.
Right.
And so it's really just an education process, right? We have these fans that already love our shows and love our brands. They're used to consuming us over the air through the AM and the FM. And we're just simply telling them, hey, your mobile phone's a radio. You can listen on your smart speaker. So when you have these other opportunities throughout your day and you want to listen to Boomer and Geo, or you want to listen to the Greg Hill Show, or you want to listen to Sarah and Vinny, you can, because you've got it in your pocket. And we're using our massive reach and our massive voice to tell that story and educate our listeners.
So, Tim, I have the pleasure of knowing you for a while, and, you know, you came in through the broadcast side, and you have really grown into a true digital expert and leader in our industry.
Thank you.
But as you well know, as much as we talk digital, there are still a lot of people who are a little bit uncomfortable with it. They can't get their arms around it. And many of them came from a traditional broadcasting side. What can you share with us to help us feel more comfortable with being uncomfortable?
Yeah, it's a great question, because I think as you think about all of the emerging trends like AI, you know, you can't have a conversation this week without artificial intelligence coming up. And I think people automatically go to, well, what does that mean for me? And what does that mean for our radio station and our company? And how does that change my job? And those are all, you know, natural human questions and thoughts to ask. But what I would say is what's most important, and I've seen this thematically through my conversations this week, is what fundamentally makes our medium so important and special will not change. That human connection, that companionship, you know, the social nature of radio, the talent, the personalities, the locality, all of that will not change. And we have to be very thoughtful and intentional about how we leverage technology to make things more efficient and make jobs easier. Look, I'm interested in how can artificial intelligence free up time for our creatives. I want our talent and our program directors thinking about the next awesome promotion or the next great segment of a show, and not doing, you know, I don't know, operational stuff, all this sort of these tasks that everyone gets bogged down on that takes away from that ability to think.
Well, I think that's the perfect word, tasks.
Yeah. There are a lot of tasks still, and technology over the past several years has really helped us to eliminate many of those, but there's still a lot of stuff you have to do to get your job done that again takes away from your ability to think creatively.
Someone yesterday said something and the light bulb went off for me, and they said the name of AI really isn't about artificial intelligence. It's about additional intelligence.
That's great. I love that.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it can be really powerful. But you know what happens anytime there's a new trend and a buzzword? It's like we all conjure up all these in you know, big thoughts and how it's going to change everything.
But you also said something that's so important, and I think we have to be sensitive to it. When there are these changes, the first thing anyone thinks about is, how does it affect me?
Right, right.
And we need to be sensitive to that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, look, we're all different when it comes to how we think about change, some better than others. And I just think we have to try, as I try for myself. Change scares me in a lot of different ways, but I try to go to how can it help me and how can it make my life better, how can it make my job better, versus going to the immediate thought of how is it going to disrupt me and how is it going to negatively affect
me? So it's attitude.
Yeah. I mean, you got to start there, right?
No, I think that that's a great message for all of us. So we continue to hear a lot about disruption and how disruption is affecting the broadcast industry. Can you share some of the key challenges that you're faced with at Odyssey and how you're dealing with some of these challenges?
I mean, for me, I spend a lot of time thinking about the shift in consumer behavior. And look, as I've said, our listeners love our content. They love our brands. They love our talent. It's just that their habits are shifting, and our challenge is to shift with them. And that's not easy. I mean, it's easy to say, yeah, people are consuming more audio on their phone, and people are consuming more audio on their smart speaker, and so forth. But it's not always easy to execute on. So I think the shift in consumer habits, the shift in human behavior is just going to continue. It's accelerated over the last several years. I think the pandemic accelerated it even further, particularly for us in media and in radio, in some good ways and in some challenging ways. Well, but keeping up with that is, I think, the hardest.
But as you say, it's not only connecting with them on these various devices, it's getting your arms around who they are and being able to specifically have data that says they're there.
Right, and then paying that off for advertisers, right? Telling that story and reminding advertisers that, you know, this is an incredibly valuable audience.
Right.
These impressions that we deliver, whether it be over the air or digitally, are premium impressions. And to your point, we do need to continue to advance the data that we have to support that story and prove the ROI. And that is also challenging and will continue to evolve, and it's important work that needs to continue.
So many of the members of the REB that we connect with on a daily basis are on the revenue, sales, and marketing side. How much do you connect within your company the revenue side of the organization?
Well, we're all in revenue. We are all in sales. It's very, very important to my teams because we really believe in the notion of integration.
I mean, right.
We have spots that we sell. But I think with such premium content as we have in Odyssey, such premium brands, and an incredibly engaging platform, we can create special opportunities. We can create unique opportunities for a brand to connect with fans that we have on the platform. And so I think it's really important that we don't put that in a box, but that we keep, you know, sort of a blank whiteboard at all times. And we say, whenever somebody has an interest in reaching an audience, let's put our heads together and see what all the assets we have, what all the opportunities we have, and put them together and be creative. And, you know, because look, if I'm an advertiser, I'm wanting to do something different and own a unique space.
To set you apart.
To set me apart, because there's a lot of noise in the world. And so I need things as a brand to be different and to stand out.
You have spoken a little bit about brands and brand building, and we certainly know how important it is on the advertiser side. And yet, on the broadcast side, I think there's always been a confusion as to what is a brand? You know, is the brand, you know, the hits of the 70s, 80s, and 90s? And what do we stand for? What's our mission? Because that not only helps us connect with our communities, but as you say, now that we're on all these different devices, is that brand actually transcending to all these devices? And how do you get your arms around that? And what do you think about when we talk about brand building?
I think branding is an incredibly complex concept. And again, not something that should be put into a box. Brand isn't one thing or the other. And we've gone through this evolution and sort of this advancement over the past couple of years, where we introduced a master brand, a master consumer and a master B2B brand last year with Odyssey. And so threading the needle, I have these conversations every day, all week long, with all of our brand managers, with our marketers, threading the needle between what Odyssey means to a consumer and what WFAN means to a consumer and what Boomer and Geo means to a consumer.
So different.
It's not easy.
No.
You know, and so you have to think very strategically about the importance and the role that each of those brands play in the ultimate, you know, in the ultimate conversation. And again, to me, when I think about Odyssey as it relates to our listeners, and I think what role it plays is it is how Boomer and Geo get to you. It is how you engage with WFAN.
Through Odyssey.
Correct. I mean, think of what, you know, I think about Netflix. And Netflix started out as an app that I used to get video content, TV shows and movies that I liked. And Netflix has built a ton of credibility as being a provider of that, of those shows. It's expected that Netflix is going to serve you up and help you discover new video content that you're gonna love, and they've got the credibility. Our local brands already have that credibility. Our local brands and our talent have that credibility that they've built with their audiences for years, and we are trying to thread that needle with our master brand, with Audacy as well, as it relates to those local audiences.
What a great way to think about it. I never actually thought about it that way, so now you've got my brain going. And how do you get your arms around the difference between the brand of the local station and the branding of the individual talent?
You know what? I was thinking about this morning, actually, in a different conversation. What I love is that there has been more conversation, I think, across the industry in recent years about the importance of those individual talent and show brands.
Yes.
I think years ago we were like, you know, the most important thing is the station brand, and that's all that matters, and you know, it's great that we have these shows, and but they're part of the station brand. And I think a great way that the industry has evolved in our thinking is that these shows are really important brands. And when a talent or show builds a fan base, that benefits WFAN and it benefits Audacy.
Yep.
And so making that connection is really important. But I think it's really important that we empower our talent, empower our personalities to build their brands and help them and coach them. And you know, we obviously need to focus on what that station brand and what our Audacy brand are and how we build those and be super thoughtful about that. But coaching and helping our talent understand how to build their individual brands is critical.
Mm-hmm. And it would seem to me that as we build these individual brands within our overall brands, it also allows us the opportunity to upsell, if you will, or charge a premium.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I think having credible, familiar, loved brands is important. And look, that's a superpower of radio. We certainly benefit from having heritage, well-known, loved, well-regarded and trusted brands for, you know, that have been built over many, many, many years. But we're not alone in that. I think the entire radio industry has this really special thing when it comes to these radio stations and these brands that are iconic in many ways and that people have loved for a long time. And we have to harness that superpower going forward and leverage it every opportunity we get. Because you can't just create a heritage brand. You know, it takes
certainly
a lot
overnight.
Of time, right? And it's even harder. It's even harder today.
Yes.
You think about some of these
to break through.
Some of these local brands that we've had for decades, and we're not going to create that, easily, if we started today. So we have to care for them, and we have to invest in them, and we have to, be good stewards of these great brands that we have.
And I love that we have to harness our superpower.
Yes.
That's so great.
I got a cape for you.
Okay, I'm ready to wear it. Let's go. So in your opinion, Tim, you know, we've talked about disruption and we've talked about, you know, there's so many things going on and so much innovation. But what should our industry as a whole be doing to not just remain relevant, but to stay ahead of the curve?
Education is so important. You know, at the top of this episode, we talked about how important it is to come to NAB, go to events like CES if you have the opportunity, go to conferences where you have the opportunity to be in the room with other great thinkers and other minds that are going to stimulate you. I think education is really important because we can sit here and say, oh, you know, doom and gloom about all the change that's going on and AI, what's this mean? But unless you truly educate yourself on what all this is, whatever the particular, you know, topic of the day is, you can't really get your head around how to use it, how it will affect us, what we should be thinking about. And it's a simple thing. And I don't mean to suggest that, you know, people aren't educating themselves, but I know, and you know, it's hard to make the time to sit down and really think like that. And
it
so
is
I think
hard.
You know, we have to set the time for ourselves to make sure that we are educating ourselves on the trends and the macro.
Add to that even with limited resources in a local marketplace, becoming involved with your local chamber of commerce or local business organizations, because our industry is not the only industry that's being disruptive.
Right.
Every industry is being disruptive. But to hear what's going on in other industries is certainly just as helpful, if not more.
That's such a great point. And getting back to the notion that we're all in revenue, regardless of whether you're a salesperson or a brand manager or a talent, I think your point is so important to know, you know, what other businesses are faced with in terms of their challenges and how that's changing the way they operate. And because, well, ultimately we're here to help solve their problems.
Correct.
Right? We always have been. And so we got to know what their problems are, and their problems are changing just as fast as our challenges are right. changing. So
when you look to the future, is there one trend or something that you're most excited about?
Wow, there's so much that I could say. I think that as more listeners learn how to consume us, learn that they can consume us digitally and make that a daily habit, that is our biggest opportunity to grow our audience and create more engagement with our current audience. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, we've all seen the Edison share of your data, and one of the things that I'm most optimistic about is you see this trend that streaming consumption of AM/FM local radio has strong tailwinds behind it. And I don't get to say that many things have tailwinds behind it these days. Right? But that one really makes me optimistic about our future. And as I think about our audiences, we have such a long way to go in converting more of our over-the-air audience that uses us daily.
Right.
Over the air on an AM or FM signal, getting them in the habit of also consuming us digitally.
Right.
And that's going to unlock so much more engagement. It's going to unlock, you know, interactivity. It's going to unlock, I think, an even better connection between our audiences, our fans, and the talent and the brands that they love.
So, you know, at the REB, we always have these campaigns, and they're very consistent, frequency works. So mm-hmm. you may have the great message, but if you don't keep saying it over and over and over again,
right.
it's going to fall on deaf ears.
Always been true and hasn't changed.
Yes, exactly. So if you would just finish the sentence, radio matters because?
Because community matters, and radio stations, radio brands create, we call them audiences, but they're really communities. And I think in our world, community is very important. And that companionship and that relationship that you have with the place that you live is, and the other people that live in that place, whether it be the world, the country, or the city that you call home, having a community that sticks together and is connected through everything that we go through in this world is super critical. And radio does that. Radio creates those communities, always has, and continues to do so. And I think that's really important for our society, for our democracy.
And radio works because?
Our fans love us. Listeners love us. Now, again, we talk about continuing to be there where they want us to be, but there's no challenge with our, with fans and listeners wanting to consume our product other than the shift in behavior and the shift in the way they will consume it. They love the content. They always have. And our radios, and we, you know, look, I think our fans recognize, our listeners recognize what we spoke about in terms of the importance of radio and the platform, what radio does for the community and how it benefits their life. All those things add up to a lot of loyalty, and that's important. It's hard to replicate that.
Well, Tim, we so appreciate you taking a time to stop by Radio on Main Street, and continued good success.
Thanks so much.
And we can't wait to hear about your continued projects down the road.
Thanks so much, Erica. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Tim reminds us of what makes our industry so special. And the more our listeners learn they can consume us digitally and make that a daily habit, that is our biggest opportunity to grow our audience and create more engagement with our current audience. We all need to harness our superpower.
If you'd like to learn more about radio and its many benefits, we invite you to visit us at rab.com, or you can email us directly at askrab@rab.com. Until next time, it's Radio on Main Street.